Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff, am I right? Didn't I just read a release? You're going to step down?
Andy, you're right. I'm here through induction. I'm going to make sure things run smoothly until then. And then it's time to turn over the reins, and I'm looking forward to it. I've been here 25 years, almost half my life, and
wow.
I'm excited for the Hall of Fame. I'm also excited for me.
Well, Jeff, we've always appreciated your perspective when you've come on our show before, so we wish you the best of luck in whatever you're going to do next. Retire. What are you doing next?
I've got some things on the horizon. Okay. Probably in the next few weeks or month it'll come out, but I'm excited. Really, I'm just leaving the Hall of Fame, and this is a plum job. It's the greatest job in the world, and it's time for someone else to have that opportunity to enjoy it.
And applications can be sent to
Jeff and Andy at the station.
There you go. Jeff, it was certainly sad news for everybody in Cleveland to hear about Frank Robinson's passing. And I immediately thought, boy, Frank Robinson, Larry Doby, Cleveland's place in things that were huge in the sport of baseball, obviously on display when you think about those two breaking the color barrier as a player and as a manager. What did it mean when Frank broke the color barrier as a manager?
Well, I think it meant a great deal, Jeff. It began to open doors, which have slowly continued to be opening, and it showed that this country was moving forward and putting players that had managerial acumen that were African-American into a slot where they could make a difference. And what Frank did is truly heroic. What Larry Doby did was heroic, and Jackie Robinson. And it really was a good way for Frank to end his to transition from player to becoming a manager, as he did as a player manager in Cleveland.
Jeff, can you reflect back on what Frank was able to do after his career? I mean, it was so influential in the game, even after he stepped away from being a manager, working with the league office, and doing all those things.
He had as prolific a second half of his career as the first half. I mean, his playing career is incredible when you go back and look at it. And I mean, you really dive in anywhere because he affected the game in so many ways. But then he was able to use that afterwards as a manager and then in the front office for Major League Baseball. Later in life as the honorary American League president, and really to show the world how important it is to have great composure, to be a man of integrity. And to really take baseball to another level. And he loved coming to Cooperstown after his induction the first year in 82, and was a regular. He and Barbara and Nichelle, his daughter, were in Cooperstown all the time, and they just proudly were a part of the baseball family.
It's interesting that he was such a phenomenal player, and then he's almost more known as a manager because of breaking the color barrier than he was as one of the greatest players of all time, Jeff. And that's to me, that shows the significance of breaking the color barrier when it kind of overshadows one of the top, 20 careers maybe in baseball history?
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, because he becomes underappreciated for what he did as a player. And, you know, the only guy to win MVPs in both leagues. He gets traded to Baltimore and immediately wins a triple crown. And when you think of what he did on the base paths, was very similar to what Bob Gibson did on the mound. He owned them. And you did not mess with Frank when he was trying to get an extra base. And you're right. Funny you say that, because with Jackie Robinson, when he was elected to the Hall of Fame, he made it known to the sports writers that if he was elected, he wanted it to be based on his career and not the fact that he integrated the game, which is hard to do. But it was reflected on his plaque. There was nothing about integrating the game on his plaque because he didn't want to be remembered that way. And, you know, for Frank, I guess there's some similarity there.
Jeff, what did Frank Robinson mean to you personally? I mean, like Jeff and I were talking today that we all have like this personal touch story and what it meant to us, especially as guys that grew up in Cleveland. But I'm wondering what he meant to you, or what, when I say Frank Robinson to you, the president of the Hall of Fame Museum, what does the words Frank Robinson mean to you?
Well, what really struck me with Frank was just how committed he was to his beliefs and feelings about the game, about life, about the country. And, you know, he was a quiet guy. As we know, he didn't he certainly had an opinion, but he didn't go out and make his opinion known unless asked. And he reflected and shared with me many times about what he felt about the game. And he didn't like when the game was being disrespected, whether it was the way a player dressed or with steroids later in life. But Frank was a guy that, to me, represents all the things that are right about baseball and is a great symbol for what this country has become.
Jeff, you think we'll see a player manager again?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the way the game is going now, you have to have a guy who, you know, has so much going on with all the analytics, with the ability and need to communicate with multiple audiences, even sometimes during the game. I think they have a tough enough job as it is just managing the game.
And, Jeff, while we got you online, I also want to ask you about some of these proposed rule changes that we're talking about in Major League Baseball. The three-batter minimum, what do you think of that?
Well, again, the Hall of Fame is separate from MLB. So
we're
the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. We're not the MLB Hall of Fame, so we don't have any say in it. But, you know, from looking at it from Commissioner Manfred's standpoint and also the Players Association, all they're trying to do is keep the game interesting and moving it along. And it definitely changes the way the game is played if you go from one to three batters. But, you know, there's some logic to it. It keeps things going. And, you know, three batters isn't a ton. So I think that if they end up going that way, it'll be different. But I don't think it'll show much of a ripple in terms of enjoyment.
Jeff, I took my family to Cooperstown 4 years ago. I think we took a family trip because I had never been to the Hall of Fame, and we wanted to go. Phenomenal experience. Cooperstown was so charming, it was unbelievable. I love the fact that the Hall of Fame looks like it's the courthouse or the library. I just, there's the Hall of Fame. That's really cool. And I just think I if you love baseball, you need to go. And you know, I had waited my whole life to go. I couldn't be happier that I finally made it. And I would guess you get that from an awful lot of folks who get there for the first time. What kind of an experience will folks see when they get to the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's nice of you to say, and obviously I'm partial because I've been here for I came here and figured I'd stay for a year, and that was 25 years ago, and two kids in 25 years ago. But no, you know what it's like. You know, Cooperstown is, to me, when I first started, you know, working here, was like being in a Rockwell painting in a lot of ways. It's like you're driving in on the Lake Road, and everything's gorgeous. And I felt like if I like closed my eyes and opened them again, I'd be in a Rockwell painting. And here, the Hall of Fame is town of 1800, one stoplight, and we're right on the middle of Main Street. As you said, just a kind of a quiet red brick building. Once you open those doors, you walk into 50,000 square feet of your childhood, which is really cool. And if you've ever watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I would say in a lot of ways we're the baseball version of that. And as someone who's been to Cleveland multiple times with the World Series, the All-Star Game, to visit my friend Greg at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's a seven-hour drive. It's not that far. So come on out from Cleveland, because you will find your childhood right here in this red brick building.
Yes, you
Outstanding.
Will.
Jeff, thank you so much. We appreciate you all the time coming on with us over the last couple of years, and best of luck to whatever you're going to do next. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you.
Jeff Idelson, president of the Hall of Fame Museum in Cooperstown.